99.1.
Where the hunt for number 16 lives.
The home of Alabama sports. The new Tide 99.1.
Twelve minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. Ben George, our digital managing editor, joining me here. I'm Chris Stewart on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com. Ben normally joining me a little bit later, but we've got a guest coming up here as we broadcast live from the Bryant Museum. Want to get a quick thought, what all we've got on the web today commemorating, not only talking about Alabama, Texas A&M, but Ben commemorating the 100th birthday of Coach Paul Bryant.
Yeah, a couple things you can look for. On our website, we have a couple different posts. One, a list of the best Bear Bryant quotes. As you know, he's a master motivator, left behind a legacy that went way beyond the football field, and a lot of his quotes are still used today in any different field. We have a list of his best quotes on the site, as well as a lot of stories that former players and coaches shared of Bryant. Their videos we pulled off of YouTube, just of the late Mal Moore, and talking about, you know, a couple experiences he had with Coach Bryant, some other guys. Really, really intriguing stuff. It's cool to see the camaraderie of the Alabama family as they share these stories, the history of the program. That's pretty cool as well. And also on our Twitter feed, I'm tweeting out some pictures here from the museum, the new Bryant exhibit. We have some Golden Flake chips and bottles of Coca-Cola in the corner, which is fitting. So be sure to check those out on our Twitter feed at Tide99.1FM.
I want to get you to come back in a few minutes, and we'll talk about some tickets we're giving away on site. But thanks, Ben, for doing that. We're gonna tag out here as Ben George, our digital managing editor, is joining us here on site, and we'll talk about that. But we're going to get Coach Battle to put the headsets on and join us here, as he is very kind on a very busy week, probably the worst week that I could have asked the gentleman to walk across the street and spend a few minutes with me, but no more appropriate day. Coach Battle, thank you so much for coming here.
Chris, great to be here.
All right, I know this plays better on television, but even though this is on radio, I've got to show you something here, and I want to get your first reaction.
That's two dapper coaches, isn't it?
Two dapper coaches just pulled up a picture on the iPad of Coach Bryant in a very – how have you gone from being the youngest coach in college football to the oldest rookie athletic director in college athletics? That's a pretty good run.
Yeah, that's two records, two SEC records that I'm kind of proud of, I guess.
You should be.
I guess that's called coming full circle.
Was that the first meeting? Was that the first game? Can you tell?
I can't remember. I don't think so. The first meeting was in Knoxville, and I don't think that was the first meeting. But what I do remember about the first meeting, the night before the game, we always hosted the opposing coach and official party at the university club. And so Coach Bryant came over and put his arm around me, and he said, I know you're going to really sleep well tonight.
Did you at all?
I did not. I did not sleep. I might have dozed a little bit, but it was one of those days that the good Lord was watching out for the good guys, and Alabama, with Scott Hunter, threw the ball up and down the field, had about 450 yards of offense, but we intercepted eight passes and shut Alabama out for the first time in many years, and that made Coach Bryant mad because I never beat him again.
Well, you weren't alone in that category, especially during that stretch run. Do you remember the pregame of that first game, having played for the man already at that time thought of as the best in the business? And here you are either walking to him or walking across the field to have the traditional pregame visit. Do you recall that at all, or is it all a blur?
That's pretty much of a blur. I was an assistant at Tennessee 4 years before I was the head coach. And so the first game in 1966 when I went to Tennessee was really interesting, in being on the field and seeing Mal and Brother Oliver and all the guys that I played with, in addition to Coach Bryant, and then playing those four games was really interesting. It was not as biggest shock, I guess, when I became the head coach, because it was my fifth game.
Right.
And so, but what I do remember is at the end of the game, and I always took pride in trying to be cool, calm, and collected, and not get too excited about things, and usually tried to think through what I was going to say to the team or the press or whatever, because that's what Coach Bryant taught me. But about 30 seconds before the game ended, the players scooped me up and lifted me up on their shoulders, and the clock ran out, and before I knew it, I was on the field at midfield, and I hadn't thought about anything, and I was really in shock. You talk about a deer in headlights, and I don't even remember what he said at the time, and then it was all over and he was gone. But so I didn't get to enjoy a very special moment.
Coach Bill Battle joining us here on the new Tide 99.1 and online at Tide99.1.com as we broadcast live from the Paul W. Bryant Museum, celebrating and commemorating the centennial of Coach Bryant's birth. I was thinking earlier today, you came back and took this role as athletic director as a labor of love and as a favor to a friend in Mal Moore. Thinking about two men that meant as much to you, Coach Moore and Coach Bryant, and having the opportunity to do that, that's awfully special thing right there.
Well, it is a special thing. Coach Bryant, there's not many days that go by that I don't think about Coach Bryant, what he would have done or what he would have thought. And I knew Mal had done a great job here, but I didn't know how truly great a job he had done until I had gotten to spend some time here and seen the staff that he's built, the facilities that he's built, and the programs that he's built. And it is truly amazing. And I'm one of the things that I'm most grateful for as it relates to Mal is that the university had the wisdom and the foresight to name the Mal Moore Athletic Facility in 2007 while he was still alive and in his good years, and in his so that he had time to enjoy that very special recognition, which will live on for generations.
And the amazing thing is they kept it a secret until they pulled the veil back on it, because they knew he wouldn't go for it if it wasn't already done.
I didn't know that story.
I had been told that was the case anyway. I may be incorrect, but yeah. it was awfully nice indeed. The irony that he wanted to follow Coach Bryant as football coach, didn't get the opportunity, but would ultimately be in that chair as athletic director. I don't know if during your coaching days that was something you allowed yourself to think of, perhaps one day being the next football coach at the University of Alabama, but sitting in that chair as Coach Bryant. Did the football side of it, did you have time that early? I mean, you were so young when it was going on.
Well, we actually, Coach Bryant and I talked about that he was still coaching, and I certainly was thoughtful about that. I think he talked to some other people too. And as Charlie Mack and I used to talk about, you know, Charlie McClendon from LSU played for Coach Bryant at Kentucky, and
sure,
we always got together at SEC meetings and always typically talked about, one of the things we talked about was that they write so many stories about how many coaches Coach Bryant put into coaching, they don't write many about how many he takes out. And while Coach Bryant and I talked a little bit about that, you know, following him at Alabama, but he outlived my tenure as he did Charlie Mack's tenure there. So but one thing I never wanted to be was an athletic director. When I was coaching, I never thought being an athletic director was a very fun job. And And now I've found
turned out it's true.
It really isn't a very fun job, but it's a great job, and it's one that I'm very excited about. And it's a special time in the University of Alabama's life. It's a special time in my life, a unique maybe more than anything, because I was rested and hadn't worked too hard in a while, and still had good health, and hopefully have some knowledge and skills that can help the university. And when they called and asked me to do that, my first reaction was, "No way, am I going to do that?" And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, if I don't do this, I'll regret it the rest of my life, and I would. And I have I've just been exhilarated. When I came here, I said, this is either going to kill me or keep me young, and I really believe that it'll keep me young, because I have thoroughly enjoyed most every day here. There are, when you have almost 300 employees and 500 student-athletes, there are going to be highs and lows every day. But the ability to really truly feel that I am back home, and that the people have been so gracious and welcoming Mary and me back into the fold, and the chance to make a difference in young people's lives in ways that coaches and administrators made in my life during my time here is something that's a very worthy challenge, and what I look forward to when I wake up every day.
Can't comment on it, I understand, but when I grabbed the Tuscaloosa News today, the lead story in the sports section, Aaron Suttle's writing that there are some changes coming for the facility just yards from where we're sitting, the baseball stadium, Sewell Thomas Stadium, and the potential of that taking place. Any comment that you can share as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, the we've made a recommendation to the board, which they will address on Friday, and there will be more discussion depending on what they say. Well, I'm looking at this headline, which I hadn't seen
before.
Have
I thrown you a nasty slider?
No, it's all right.
And I apologize for that. That wasn't the intent in having you over,
no,
but it popped up.
That's all right. I think I can handle that one. The when we talk in SEC meetings about the SEC channel, and the talking points when somebody asks about how good is the SEC channel going to be, the answer is, well, there are two things. There's a lot of potential, and it's premature. And so what I see here is that with our baseball stadium, we think there's a lot of potential, and this is premature to discuss, so we'll talk about it later.
I understand. That's fair enough. I know that you were at the SEC tournament and had a lot of fun seeing Coach Gaspard's team, and excited about facility aside. Excited about where things are headed with that program.
I really am. I was impressed with the way that our team played this year. We had a young team, and I think we were the only team that beat Vanderbilt and LSU in the same year. And we had lost a lot of extra inning games and a lot of one-run games. We've had a really good recruiting year, I think. So I think we got more young players coming in, and I think our future's good. So we're looking forward to that.
Bill Battle, my guest here on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com, broadcasting live from the Paul W. Bryant Museum on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I know you've got your plate full, and you feel real comfortable with the guy who has the responsibility of putting the game plan together. But as the former coach, as the football guy yourself, do you find yourself breaking things down a little bit for fun, Alabama, Texas A&M this weekend?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
How are you gonna stop Manziel?
I'm gonna count on Coach Saban stopping Manziel. I can promise you that. But I think he's got a good plan. I think he's got a good plan for everything that he tries to do. I have been so impressed with Nick Saban, and not just being a great recruiter and a great football mind and having the ability to get his players to not only play well, but play with sportsmanship and behave and do what they're supposed to do for the most part. I've really been impressed with what he has done with our academics by demanding that we take care of the players and that we give them the opportunities to grow and to make sure that they go to class and make sure that they do what they're supposed to do in the classroom as well as what they do at practice and for getting ready for competition with A&M and LSU and others. But I'm impressed with the way that he goes about everything, preparing them for life, for emphasis on life skills, with how we, how our doctors and trainers take care of the health of our athletes, and both preparation for and weight training and nutrition, but when they're injured, what we do with them. And everything he does, he's very focused, very intense, and very goal-oriented and organized. And, you know, I hadn't found anything that I can give him much advice on, because I can't figure out something that I'd want him to do better. He's doing everything that I can see that is pretty darn good.
The eras are obviously different. What are the comparisons between Coach and Coach Bryant fair?
They are to me. I think Coach Bryant would be proud of our football today. And I think Nick Saban, if he was old enough, would be proud of Coach Bryant's the way he ran things back in those days. And, you know, they talk about people being rigid and strict, and both are. There's no doubt about who is or was the boss in either of those two's time here. They both had the ability to get people to do what they wanted them to do, be it the players, the coaches, the fans, even the administration and the press to a certain extent. So, one of the things that's impressed me about Coach Saban when he's asked about that comparison is that he talks about when players come back, the one thing they talk about more than any other thing is not their success on the fields, but what a difference he made in their lives. And he's committed, I think, to doing exactly that, because that's what you hear from the people that have left here during his time. And that's truly the mark of a great coach.
People like yourself, guy that's going to be on with us later, Jerry Duncan, so many of you, the legacy of Coach Bryant, and you don't know how much I appreciate you giving me a few minutes to share those thoughts on this very special day.
Well, it's always fun to talk about the old days and those good times past, and there sure have been a lot of good times past around this campus, and this is a special day, Coach Bryant's 100th birthday, and the programs that the museum have put together in the tape and in the book are really special. I hope everybody out there will take advantage of watching and looking at those two great historical documents.
Coach, thank you again.
You bet.
Great to see you. Bill Battle, athletic director, of course, at the University of Alabama, former head coach at Tennessee, former player under Coach Bryant, kind enough to join us here on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com. Kurt McNair coming up right after this.
Crimson Tide Sports Network broadcaster Chris Stewart. Weekdays 11 until 1 on Tuscaloosa's Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com.